pass away, your word remains the same. Your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I remain steadfast. And let my heart burn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my trust in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope in firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my trust in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope in firm foundation. He'll never let me down. He'll never let me down. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
If you would all please stand and join me and turn to page 305.
Far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
for joining us at tonight's youth service. Tonight we'll have Brother CJ preaching. There will be a community outreach this coming Saturday on the 30th at 10 a.m. We will meet in the fellowship hall and we would like to have anyone that could come to this outing join us. Choir practice will be at 9:15 next week. Next Sunday will be our Easter service at 11 a.m. There will be no Sunday school and no evening service. Please make sure to join us. Please take a bulletin to stay on top of our prayer requests and at our announcements. Brother Justin, will you please pray?
Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your love. Lord, we thank the Lord for just the good fellowship we've had in your house today. Father, we thank you for the message this morning. We were just reminded, Lord, that praying from a place of brokenness, Lord, faith and doubt mixed, God, our broken little prayers can be heard by God. And we're so very thankful for that. Thank you for our young people, Lord. I pray that you continually bless them. Father, bless this offering. Let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church and on foreign fields. Bless Brother CJ when he comes around in just a few moments. Use him tonight. And we'll thank the Lord. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. We thank you in our hearts. Amen.
I have a few. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
believe this thing's on now. Mic check, 1, 2. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know. Anyway, great job. That was incredible. I love each of those songs. Each of those songs specifically Made for More. Holy cow, did you catch those lyrics? I'm going to butcher them, so forgive me. But I wasn't made to be tending no graves. I was called by name. I was called by name. I've got 4 kids. It feels like 11 most of the time, but I've got 4. And it's so funny. We were at a ball game last night, and one of the boys on the team said, "Hey, Mom." And it was funny. One mother's head turned, and it was the right one. Not 3 minutes later, one of the kids said, "Hey, Dad." Every single one of us were like, "Is it me? Is it me? Is it you? I don't know which one is that." You know, none of us knew. But anyway, I love being a dad. It's one of the great pleasures of my life. I specifically love harassing my son, who is playing baseball right now. Carter, last night, I got to go to one of his games, and we're so busy with having, you know, 30, 11 kids, I don't get to go to all of them. But we were at one last night, and I got to watch him pitch, and Amanda said he's really doing great. I got there late, shocking. But anyway, she said he's really doing great on the mound, and I said, cool. So I got there, and first batter that comes up, 3 pitches, and the kid struck out. I mean, 3 pitches. So I yelled across the park, I would have done it in 2, you know, because I love it. I love harassing Carter. It's one of the great joys of my life is harassing all of my kids. I guess I should behave tonight with Jackson. He's in the sound room. He could mute me at any given time. So maybe I should be good to him. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be Mark 14 tonight, Mark chapter 14. And I do love being a dad. And let me ask you a question. By the way, it's unenviable to have to follow Brian Busby. I mean, it's absolutely unenviable to have to do that. And so I decided this afternoon, if I can't be better, I'll just be shorter. So my goal is to have you out tonight in the next, quickly. So anyway, I've got a big, you know, a big chasm I've got to fill in there. But anyway, Mark chapter 14, I am thankful for that. I love that, man. That was an amazing service this morning. There's just something precious about that, and I got to enjoy most of it. There's a rumor going around that I broke a rib, and I know because I started it, and 3 people got that. It's funnier than y'all are letting on. It was very funny. No, I fell off a boat, and you're asking yourself, CJ, what are you doing on a boat in March in the first place, right? Fair question. The boys and I are going camping next week, so we've got it at our house on a trailer, and as I went to step off of it, I missed a step and fell about 3 feet and landed on a piece of gear that cut me from about here to about here. And my neighbor and I are no longer friends because when he looked at it, he goes, "Oh, man, it's a bad scrape." It's like, scrape? That's what my kids do. This is a wound. Like, this is, I mean, I'm lucky I'm not hospitalized. You know, I actually was going to go to the doctor, and I've got a friend who, I've got a doctor in the family. I called him. I said, "Hey, what do you think?" He said, "Well," he said, they're just going to tell you one of 2 things. Either it's a broken rib and there's nothing they can do. And he said, or they're going to tell you it's not a broken rib and you need to quit being a sissy and man up. I was like, well, I'm not paying $500 to get in a fist fight with some doctor somewhere. So anyway, I'm not going to go because it's just, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. But to that end, what would you fight for? What would you fight for? And I'm thankful none of you shouted out. But truthfully, what would you fight for? I saw a fist fight this week. First time I've seen one in person in quite some time. And it reminded me of one thing. I don't want to be in a fist fight. One of them pulled out brass knuckles. I mean, I'm not talking about like 2 kids pushed each other around. It started off with them yelling at each other. And so I'm pumping my gas. I'm like, you know, these guys. And then, I mean, it was a bloodbath. 2 grown men. The lady comes running out of the store and she goes, "What are you going to do?" I was like, "Not a thing. Absolutely nothing. I'm fond of my teeth, and they are swinging things that will remove them from my face. I'm not, if you would like me to call the police, I don't mind. You know, I could hose them with gasoline if it gets too bad, but I'm not getting between these 2 grown men." And you know what they were fighting over? It was you think, what would you fight for? And it's like, you know, maybe one stole the other's woman. You know, that's worth fighting for. You know, maybe one dissed the other. For those of you not under 40 years old, that means insulted. So, you know, maybe there's something going on there. No, one just didn't like the way the other looked at him. and so you're going to have a bloodbath and go to, and I actually heard them use the phrase, I'll go to jail. I ain't afraid. I'm like, I'm not going to jail over the way somebody looked at me. But they did. They got in a full-blown fist fight. But, you know, sometimes in life that happens. Matthew chapter 14, verse 65 says, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy, and the servants strike him with the palms of their hands. Tonight's lesson is, or sermon's called From Palm to Palm. Palm Sunday was just a few days ago from this story that we're looking at tonight. Just a few days ago, Jesus comes into town and they're screaming, Hosanna. Right, by the way, today is Palm Sunday, right? How timely. What are the odds? Nearly 1,000. But anyway, so they're literally throwing palm branches on the ground to protect the feet of the donkey carrying Jesus because they love him so much. So they're screaming, you know, it's celebration time, right? They're the guy who won the fight, right? He was excited much more so than the one who did not win the fight. But this is such an exciting moment. But then just a few short days later, they're literally, by the way, he's not on the cross yet. He hasn't been to see the high priest yet. He hasn't, you know, none of these things have happened. This is very, very early in the process. So it's literally probably just perhaps 4 days or so from when they were literally celebrating his triumphal entry, right? Just a few short days later. And you wonder, how did the tides turn that quickly? How do the tides turn that quickly? And you know, there's probably a million points that we could draw from this. I mean, if you get in there and read it, there's, you know, obviously Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have different perspectives of these same events. So we could read through all of those, and we could spend probably a month just studying those and just looking at some of those. But I just want to point out a few that I felt like maybe the Lord showed me. And part of it, I think, is in fact, have you ever watched a movie for the second time? I don't like to, let's be honest with you. I get anxiety because I'm like, don't do it, man. I know how this turns out for you. She's not the one. What are you doing, man? Hold out. There's another girl coming. Don't go for the wrong one. You know, and I've got kids who, again, they love film, movies, probably different versions of it than I do. And they will sit there and they will watch Barney over. Barney's a bad example. None of my kids watch Barney. I don't know why that came to my mind. But anyway, what's that, the little pig? Peppa. Old Peppa Pig. Well, we can watch some Peppa Pig at the Martin household. We can sit that little pig. And matter of fact, Charlie to this day will say, Daddy, are we going on holiday? Yes, yes. And I said the same thing. I was like, what are you talking about? We're not British. No, we're not going on no holiday. But now I'm like, yeah, baby, we're going on holiday. Because I've been introduced to Peppa Pig, and that little chick likes to go on holiday as well. But anyway, no idea where I was going with that, other than to say I get anxiety when I watch a movie I've already seen, and I know how it ends, and I know that the road they're going down is not good, right? I know that, and no doubt, so Jesus knows what's coming. Can you imagine the triumphal entry, what that must have been like for him from his perspective? You know, everyone's so excited to be here. And he's like, yeah, I'm excited to be here. But boy, that must have been some anxiety. That must have been a painful, just to know that all these same people who are smiling, who are celebrating you in just a few short days will hate you. They will absolutely hate you. And so as I read through this, the Lord showed me three things. If you want to join me in chapter 11, chapter 11, verse 15. This is right after the triumphal entry, by the way. Right after this, you know, maybe the same day, maybe the next day. It says, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of, or excuse me, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye made it a den of thieves. first thing that we discover, if you're going to go from palm to palm, right? And by the way, you are much like a marriage, right? It's either getting better or it's getting worse over time. There's no stagnant marriage, right? If it's stagnant, it's getting worse. Your relationships are that way. The same is true with your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is either getting better, right? Either you are headed towards, you know, closer to Palm Sunday, or, and none of us would say I would ever pull the beard of Jesus. None of us would ever say I would spit in the face of Jesus. But when you disrespect him, is it any different? Right? I told you earlier, I've got 7-Eleven kids. This is going to shock you, but sometimes they're not angels. Right? Sometimes we have what we used to call at the children's home, come to Jesus meetings. I had a lot of them. I've been on the receiving end of nearly all of them. But anyway, there are moments, and I have to tell my kids that disrespect, ignoring what I ask you to do, is just as bad as anything else, right? It's just as bad as some of these other things. And so you and I are either headed towards a better relationship, the Palm Sunday, or a worse relationship, and that was a bad move. That is the hitting Jesus Christ with the palm, right? With your hand. And the first thing that you're going to help you decide which way you're going is when Jesus challenges something in your life. How does that go? Because that's what he did. He challenged what they were doing. And no doubt, some of them felt very justified. You know, some of them, I'm sure, said, well, what are you doing? This is how Mama did it. This is how Paul did it. This is the way we're supposed to do it. You can't just come in here and flip tables upside down. You're talking about we're doing things wrong. What's this look like? My table's upside down. Right? And so no doubt he challenged how that's going to go. Let me ask you something. If Jesus challenges something in your life, how do you respond to that? Let me ask you this. Do you have a friend in your life who challenges you? I've got some friends in my life who I don't like sometimes. Right? Clay Hitchcock's one of them. I love that guy, but there are times I don't like him. I don't want to be his friend in the moment. But Clay Hitchcock is my friend. Clay Hitchcock will tell me the truth, right? And I'm so thankful for that. I've got Uncle Brian in my life. You think Uncle Brian won't tell me the truth? He said, we'll sort your feelings out later. We're going to deal with the truth right now. He does sandwiches, right? They taught us this in school. I didn't know this was what they were called at the time, but you start off with something nice, a piece of bread, and then you put the meat on, right? So the bread is, oh, you look so handsome today. I'm proud of you. You're doing good things. You're an idiot, and you have to quit doing this, or I'm going to punch you. He's never said that. It's a joke, right? And then he ends it with the other side of bread. But you're trying, and I can tell, right? Same thing. They taught us in business school to do that with emails where we're dealing with problems, you know, to make that sandwich. And I was like, that's what Uncle Brian's been doing for 15 years. Anyway, so I'm thankful for most of those sandwiches. Some of those sandwiches. I'm in the pulpit. I should probably be honest. I'm thankful for some of the sandwiches. But has God put someone in your life who challenges you? Right? Someone who says to you, are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? By the way, if you ever have someone in your friend who says, are you sure you want to do this? Can I encourage you to do something? Stop. If you're like me, then if someone says, are you sure you want to do this? Especially in my younger years, you know what that made me do? I laid into the gas pedal. Absolutely, we're going to do this. What do you mean asking me, am I sure I want to do it? Are you kidding me? You're absolutely right, I want to do this. As I get older, and my kids would say significantly older, I don't think so by any stretch, because the older I get, the older y'all get, so I think we're all doing pretty good. But anyway, if someone ever says to you, are you sure about that? Can I ask that we should think this through? Is there something else that we should consider this? Because I'm telling you, if someone says that to you, someone loves you, and someone's trying to help you. Someone is trying to help you. So we have these challenges. If we look at chapter 11, verse 27, we're going to look at the next thing, and that is, and they came again to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple. I'm sure they were really glad to have him back, right? They were walking again to Jerusalem, and he was walking in the temple. There come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they said unto him, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said, I will ask of you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John, that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Here's how we would have said this where I come from, right? Which I guess ironically is right here. Who you think you are? Who do you think you are? Now, you've got a lot of courage to say that to none less than Jesus Christ, right? You've got, a courage I'm not familiar with. You've got, a deep-founded courage to look Jesus Christ in his face and say, who you think you is? And I love that Jesus says, who you think you is. But the truth is, you and I do the same thing. They're challenging the authority of Jesus Christ. They're challenging the very authority. And you know what's funny? You and I, we do the same thing. When someone says, you know, this book says you shouldn't do that. Yeah, but. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, but. You know what you're doing? You're challenging the authority. You're saying, yeah, that was written for a different time. Well, the Bible tells me that he changes not. Right? That he doesn't change his mind, that he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we're going to have to decide who's really in charge. Is it me or is it Jesus? Right? Is it what's really the authority in my life? Is it this book or is it what's socially acceptable in my circles? Right? Is it this book or is it what Mama and them did? Is it this book or is it going to be, that's really hard to do. By the way, has God called anybody in the room to do anything easy? No. Not me. I'm just going to be honest with you. He called me to marry, we're on Facebook, a beautiful and stunning woman who's occasionally naughty, right? It's not always easy. I love you, Amanda. She says she's watching from the baseball game. I'll know when I get home if she is or not, won't I? The truth is, she married somebody who's not always easy to love, right? She married somebody who's difficult. She married somebody who loves Jesus with all his heart but struggles sometimes to carry that out in every single day of life. Maybe I'm being too honest. I don't know. But she married somebody who is made for more, who's called by name, who God has great plans for, but Satan works so hard in my life to keep me from fulfilling great things. And can I tell you that when I, you know what drives me nuts, Brother Justin? There are so many of you in this room that need a sermon tonight. Why does God always give them that I need? Right? Come on. Can't he get on to Miss Glenda just for one night? Just give me the night off? So I don't stand in front of you pretending to have any of this together. I don't stand in front of you pretending that I give Jesus all the authority in my life. I'm not going to stand in front of you and act like when my friends bring challenges into my life, I don't pitch a fit, right? I'm not pretending for one second that any of that's true. I wouldn't lie to you. But I can tell you, based on my experience and based on what we're reading right here in the Word of God, that Jesus is the authority. And the sooner we fall in line with that, the better things are for us. Amen. The easier the road is. The road will rise up to meet you. It's not spiritual. I don't know who said that that luck favors the prepared, right? It's simply true. It's simply true. And I'm so thankful for a life that has proven time and time and time again that if I will submit to the authority of the will of God, that if I will set CJ on the back burner, that just for a few minutes I'll say, you know what, I don't get it. I don't agree with it. I certainly don't even like it, but I'm just going to trust it and do what it says. And I'm just going to have to let you have the results. If this thing falls apart, then me and you will sit on the other side and go, I don't know what happened. I followed you to the very best of my ability. And now we're going to rebuild this thing together, and I'll follow you more closely this time. If we will submit to that authority in real life, then what we'll discover is great things happen, right? All of a sudden, you find yourself sitting in the back of the church, right back there where y'all are, and watching your two beautiful little girls sing like I did this morning, tears running down my face. I looked like the biggest, fattest loser in the building, but there was just something precious about watching Charlie and Gracie. Throw something. ADD. Anyway, you should hide your mics from me. They're not safe here. But anyway, there's something precious about watching your little girl sing for Jesus and watching Charlie get tired and take a rest mid-song. I'm not sure what that was about. She learned that from her mama. I'm not sure. But anyway, there's something precious about that. And thinking if Brian hadn't listened to God. But you know what the truth is? Here's the reality, and I'm not taking away from anything he said this morning. If he hadn't, do you think God was going to let those little girls down? Do you think God was going to let me down? There'd be someone else sitting back there. His name wouldn't be Brian Busby. And they would have been second rate, I promise you, compared to Brian Busby. But the truth is, God's not going to fail them. I'm going to fail myself if I choose not to follow Jesus. If you and I choose to sit in the driver's seat of our lives, those two little girls, God put someone there for them. But you and I get to go out and waste our lives. You and I get to go out and chase things that don't matter. You and I get to go out there and look for fulfillment in things that are guaranteed to disappoint us. And that's simply the truth. If we don't submit to the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. Chapter 12, verse 38. And again, I'm fully aware that there is so much depth in here that we're missing out on. But there's just so much. I felt like the Lord gave me these 3 points for tonight. Chapter 12, verse 38 says, "And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the market places and chief seats up in the synagogue and the uppermost rooms of at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers. These shall receive great damnation." You know what Jesus just did? He just declared war. He just declared war. He says, "I'm not going to mince words," right? Dion's one of my great friends. He says, "If you want the truth to make you feel good, don't ask me." He says, "I don't beat around the bush. I'm coming through and bring the bush with." If you know Dion, you know how perfectly accurate that phrase is. That's what he says. "I'll drag the bush with." I'm like, "With what?" You can't end a sentence a preposition, Dion. But apparently they didn't teach him that. But anyway, he says, "I drag the bush the bush with." And Jesus is saying the same thing. I'm not going to beat around the bush. He says, "We're going to war." Is there anybody less appealing to go to war with than Jesus Christ? Because I'm telling you, if you're not a friend of God, you know what you are? You're an enemy of God. If you're not for me, you are, right? So that's simply the truth. And I don't know about you. I told you, I'm not fighting two grown men at the 7-Eleven or Circle K or whatever that was. I mean, I had my hose on the ready. If they came near me, they were getting doused with gasoline. I was not fighting either of these men. I wanted to get my phone out and record them, but I was afraid that then I would be involved in the fight and it would be a whole other problem, and I didn't have any backup anywhere near, so I thought I would better just let them do their thing. And I told Amanda about it. She's like, "What'd you do?" I was like, "I pumped my gas." I mean, this is not my fight. I'm not going to war for this. But anyway, if I'm not fighting two random grown men who may or may not have been on meth at the time, you think I've got the courage to go against Jesus Christ? But here's the truth. We don't think of it like that. None of us would say, "You know what? I think I'm going to offend God today." Not one of us are ignorant enough to wake up in the morning and say, "You know, I think I'm going to fight God." Right? I told you, I'm not fighting grown men at 7-Eleven over how they looked at each other. You know, that's just, come on. Let's have some decorum, right? Let's have some basic rules. I mean, if we have to fight, we will fight. It will not be based on how you looked at me. You know, it's just not going to happen. Anyway, sorry, ADD. But the truth is, much the same way as that fight developed, we find some slight within ourselves, but it starts usually with a challenge. God will challenge something in our lives, and we'll go, eh, I'm not fixing that today. I'm not going to fix that problem today. And it grows a little bit, right? And we get set in our stance. We said, no, I'm not fighting that. And what happens, we just little by little, we find ourselves falling. And all of a sudden, things that were important to us aren't important to us. And next thing you know, we are literally fighting against the very will of God for our lives. And again, like we said earlier, who loses? It's not those two little girls, although it can be detrimental for them, right? We lose. We lose the opportunity to have a life. I know of somebody who would stand in the shower and scream, "You're an idiot. You've wasted your life. You've done stupid things. What were you thinking?" And no, it was not me. Yet, give it time. But I do know a grown man who would stand in the shower and scream at himself and hated himself. And you know what? It wasn't because he burned a church down, right? It wasn't because he shot a preacher who offended him. It was because little by little, he chose things other than what God had for his life. Because little by little, God would say, "You should do this." And he'd say, "Ah." And as a grown man, he missed out on the opportunity to live the life God had for him. And you know what stinks about time? There's no going back. This June, we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to Cooperstown, New York with Carter's baseball team. And I'm not sure how, but somehow I've gotten roped into being one of the, here's how. I signed up to stay in the dorm with the kids. Right up my alley, I've got you, your kids are safe here, I will take care of them, we're good to go. And then they said, "By the way, you have to coach first base if you do that." And I was like, "Houston, you have a problem." Because I don't know what, they're like, "Well, you just got to know which kids are fast and which ones are slow." I'm like, "I know which ones are fat and which ones are little, but I have no idea which ones are fast and which ones are slow." And it can be deceitful. Some of them boogers that are husky, they got wheels. And some of them that are tiny little things, their legs just aren't quite long enough to be fast yet. You know, they're just, so I said, "You've got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong guy." But Lord willing, we are going to do that. And I have no idea how that came in to be part of our sermon. It's not in my notes, not in my Bible, but it's certainly a matter of prayer. Y'all pray for those kids, because if I end up actually doing first base, it's going to be comical at very best. But now I remember. Thank you, Lord. The truth is, I told Amanda in December, I said, "Here's what I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be the fat coach." I said, "I may send kids who shouldn't go. I may tell kids to stop when they could have gotten there with ease." I said, "But I'm going to look good sending the wrong kids. I'm going to lose 30 pounds before we go up there." And those of you who are looking at me like 30 pounds is a nice start, that's hurtful. Very hurtful. All right? But listen, here's the truth. I told her, I said, "I'm starting January 1st. I'm getting to work." And then on about January 28th, I said, "Look, February 1st, I'm getting to work." Right? And then February 28th, I said, "Look, March 1st, I'm starting. I'd be done by now. But April 1st, I'm probably going to have another excuse." But I can't go back. I can't go back, right? So now for me to have the same results in June, I'm going to have to work so much harder. I might have to run. So as you're aware, that's not going to happen. But here's the truth. I can't go back. I can't go back. You can't go back either. Right? You can't go back to when your kids were 10. You can't go back to some of you to when your kids were 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, or maybe more. See, it hurts, doesn't it? Yeah, see, that's the same way y'all looked at me when I said 20 pounds or 30 pounds earlier. Very hurtful. But listen, we can't go back. We can't go back. But what we can do is say today, "Lord, I'm not going to war with you. Lord, today we're going to just go ahead and accept that you are the authority in my life. Lord, today, if you will show me a challenge, no matter how great it seems, no matter how small it seems, God, if you will give me a challenge, I'll do my best. Lord, I'll do my very best to check myself and to say to you, you're king. You're king. I don't get it. I don't like it. This might be uncomfortable, but you're king. you are king, and so we're just going to have to let you be in charge, and if this all falls apart, then you and I will pick up the pieces on the other side and move forward with it. But God, you are the authority, and I'm not going to go to war with you. I'm not going to go to war with you, and I'm not going to go to any other war without you. You and I have been called by name. We're not here to tend graves, right? We're not out here to keep time. We're not out here to hang out and go to IHOP. And, you know, although I do look forward to retiring in my early hundreds and getting to do that a couple days a week. At this rate, it may be 120s. But I do look forward to that stage of my life. But I really hope that we're effective here to there. God, we love you. We thank you so much for the life you've given us. We thank you so much for loving us. We don't deserve your love, or we don't deserve second, third, fourth, or fifth chances. Lord, I don't deserve to stand up here tonight. I'm absolutely not qualified, Lord, in every sense of the way. But God, I ask you to look past me, and I ask you to help somebody, or some people in this room, to grab some nugget out of this and say, God, you are the authority in my life. Thank you for my friends who challenge me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the bloody noses when I go to war with you. Thank you that I don't have a chance at defeating you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that nothing has a chance against me when I'm with you. And God, we do thank you for Palm Sunday. I can't imagine what that was like, Lord. Looking in the face of the people you knew would let you down. Or looking into the eyes of the people you knew would hate you in just a few days. Or looking at the people who you knew would lie about you. Or the friends who should have your back and they didn't. Or three times Peter denied you. Even after you told him. I can't imagine what it felt like when the whole crowd screamed, "Crucify him." I can't imagine. And I can't imagine the pain of looking those people in the eyes prior, knowing that that was going to happen. But we do love you. And we thank you for this service. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to stand up. Maybe the Lord has called something to your life.